Christ Jesus, the first man, he now reproduces himself, so he has now produced Christ. And this Christ has a body. Not like him, because he did not have a body. But because he was Christ, he knew what God required on the earth, so he gives him a body. So this man, Genesis 2:7, is the first earth man. This is the man that lived in the Garden of Eden. This is Adam. The first man was Christ Jesus. That's the Son of God, the only Son God ever created. This man now is Adam, but he's also Christ because he's the reproduction of the Christ himself. So he's now in the Garden of Eden, and he's walking with God, and he's talking with God, and he's one with God, he's in God, and God is in him, and he's having a wonderful time. I don't know how many years or millions of years he walked with God in the garden. We're not told. I mean, we read it like, you know, maybe a couple of days, and then it was just done. I don't know. It could have been a long, long time. Anyway, here's the truth. The day came in verse 21 of chapter 2, and it says, the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he slept, and he slept, and he slept, and he's still sleeping. And it says that he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made a woman and brought her to the man. So Adam is unconscious. Adam has nothing to do with what's happening. They didn't ask him, is it okay if we take that female part out of you? He's not invited to have any part in this. He's unconscious, knows nothing about what's going on. So, this is fitting the man for life on the earth. Now, some of these things that the Lord God does, and you may wonder and say, why in the world did he do that? Why did he take that female out? He had good reason. And this afternoon I haven't got time to go into all the reasons. I will just tell you the main issue. The main issue was that Adam lived in the Garden of Eden with God on the basis of love, a love relationship. So every day he walked with God, he talked with God, he fellowshiped with God, he was one with God. It was a love relationship. That could have gone on for a million years. But would God ever have known if that love of Adam's was really true, was genuine? Did he really love God? He wouldn't know. Why? Because there was no alternative.
No alternative.
Well, let me use an illustration. For instance, say you were the only woman on this earth. Not another woman was on this earth. And a man walked up to you and said, I love you. I'd love to marry you. Would you know if that man really loved you? You wouldn't, would you? Why? Because there's no alternative. You're the only woman. You hear this? So you see, Adam in the garden, there was no alternative but to love God. It was like that was the natural thing. So God wanted to make sure that we love God with a genuine love, and so he had to provide an alternative. So that's what it was about. There are many other issues, but I'm not going to go into them. So what happens is, this woman, now, the Lord God forms this woman. She's not created, she's formed. Actually, it's the mind of man that forms the woman, because you see, Adam, he named all the animals. He had a lot to do with the animals and what have you, you know. And he must have seen that in all of the animals, for instance, there was male and female. In the birds, there was male and female. In the fish, there's male and female. All this kind of. I don't know, I'm surmising here because it's not in the book. But I'm saying there must have been something in his mind. And perhaps it was that there was some kind of idea that he had. Anyway, the Lord God brings this woman to the man. Adam looks at this woman, and this is how I know he's still asleep. Because he says, "You are bone of my bones. You are flesh of my flesh. I'm going to call you woman because you were taken out of me." That's how I know he's still asleep. Because if he wasn't, if he was still as he was in his consciousness before he was put to sleep, he would have looked at that woman and said, "Who are you? Where in the world did you come from?" Because he knew that God never created a woman. But see, he's asleep. This is the dream world. This is the dream world. Hello. I mean, in this room, this is the dream world. Yeah. When did you ever look at a woman and say that? Where did you come from? You never did. Why? Because you believe that the woman has been taken out of us. Every one of us believe that. I've been married 58 years. I never thought of anything about it. My wife's out there. Did that kind of affect me? I mean, did that bother me that my wife's out there? No. Why? Because I believe that the woman was taken out of me. So what does God say? "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two will become
one flesh.
Put the flesh in it, because that's it. The best you can get out of marriage is one flesh. That's all. And that means two people still. They never become one. Except from a human body point of view. And that's just with the relationship. Okay, so now God says, "For this cause a man would leave his father and mother, cleave unto his wife." Why? Because we all of us men, feel like we're not complete. You know? Here comes a stage in your life when you say, "I need something. I need a wife. I need a wife." Well, not just for cooking your dinner, and not just for doing your washing, come on. Well, whatever you need her for, anyway, you need her, don't you? Yeah, you need a wife. So God says, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, cleave unto his wife, and the two become one flesh." Okay, so my wife's out there. Well, now I began to think about that. You realize that for probably best part of 20 years, I have been telling people Genesis 2, 21, 22 is not literal. It's not literal. In other words, it was never an actual experience for Adam. Never. And I will give you two reasons why I say that and why I still say it today. Number one, because spirit cannot be divided. Spirit is male and female functioning together as one. You cannot divide spirit. God is spirit, and you cannot divide God. If you could divide spirit, you could divide God. Okay, that's number one. Number two, not only is it true that you cannot divide spirit, but in this Bible, you can read it from cover to cover, you will not find anywhere a reference to a male spirit or a female spirit. You will only read about spirit, which is male and female functioning together. So there's your two reasons why it could not possibly be real. But I want to tell you, that day when Adam said, you are bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, that woman and Adam became one. He became one with the woman. Where did he get the idea that he was flesh? The word flesh doesn't appear before that statement. God never mentioned anything at all about flesh, nothing at all. And so where did he get it from? He's asleep. It's the dream world. It's the dream world. And we've all been living in the dream world ever since. Why? Because you look at that woman there, you didn't say, where did you come from? You know, how did you get here? You shouldn't be here. God never created a woman. Where'd you come from? No. Huh? We just wanted a woman. Yeah. You see, I preached myself that the woman was never created and that Genesis 2:21-22 is not literal. I preached that. And yet, I look at my wife out there. It's my wife. That's my wife. I love her. Well, what's she doing out there? Actually, I'd like to take you through the whole story of Abram, but of course we don't have time to do that, because that is the expose of this whole thing, really. Because Adam was hunted. Abram was told, remember, he's married to a woman who cannot conceive, never conceived one child. And God said to him one day, count the stars, Abram. He said, I can't, Lord, too many. He said, so shall your seed be. And I want to tell you, that's true for every one of you. So shall your seed be. So shall your seed be. As the stars of heaven. I mean, there's billions and billions. You mean to say your seed's going to be as the stars of heaven? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. How are you going to do that? Because you only have one child to birth, and that child is Christ.
Amen.
Because in Christ is all of humanity. If you birth the Christ, you are birthing all of humanity. Oh, Lord, help us to talk. This is dynamite. I mean, this. You have to think about this. You will not grab this just in 5 minutes, but you need to meditate on this. This is where you're going to have to sit just quietly and say, Father, help me here, help me. You see, if I birth the Christ, you say that in Christ, this is Ephesians 2:10, is every man on the face of this earth, every person. That's what he was asking that man to do, the first man in Genesis 1:28. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. Now listen, I travel quite a lot and I see a whole lot of families and I see many, many Christian families. I've stayed in homes with people and I've had parents come to me in that home and say, brother, we want you to stay here so that you can see what our problem is. You see how our children are fighting all the time? I want you to pray for them. I said, you want me to pray for the children? I said, wait a minute. Tell me one thing. Do you and your wife fight? Oh, yes. Yes, we do. Well, I said, when you quit, the kids will too. See? Don't ask me to pray for the children if the parents are fighting. See, children are followers. That's all they know to do. They just follow their parents.
Yeah.
So if he gives his wife a slap over the face, you know, well, this boy's going to hit his sister if she annoys him or whatever. Because that's the way they learn. They learn from their peers, as we call them, the adults. So you see, many, many Christian families, the children are not growing up in the Lord. I can tell you about pastor's family. Their children are on drugs. Their children are on drugs. That's a pastor's family. How in the world could that happen? There you go. So is that what God was talking about? You know, fill the earth. No, he wasn't talking about having a bunch of kids that we're going to make go out there and raise, you know, hell out there somewhere and mess up, you know, in the world and maybe do some crazy things. That's not what God wanted. In Hebrew, in James chapter 1 verse 18, in the New Testament, James 1 verse 18, it says that God of his own will begat us. He didn't need it. God didn't need a woman to produce us. He didn't need a woman. There was no woman there. So he says, out of his own will he begat us, that we should become the first fruits of the God kind of people. That's my translation, but that's what it means. We are to be the God kind of people. And so this is a responsibility. If we have been born of God, then we should be living as Christ. Christ never sinned. But we're not living as Christ because we're living out of the dream world, where we've got a woman there sitting there who should not be there, but she should be in here. My wife should not be out there. She should be in here. Why? Because that's where God put her. Who put her out there? I don't know. Because God never created a woman, so I don't know who put her out there. But see, for 58 years, it never bothered me that she was out there. You see? You understand this? For me, I'm supposed to know the Bible and know all these things. I have no idea. But that's my wife. She's out there. We became one flesh 58 years ago. Sick. But today, or a few months ago, I looked at my wife out there and I said, God, there's something wrong here. She should not be out there. She should be in here. God said, I've been waiting for you to wake up. I woke up. I woke up and the dream finished. And I said to my wife, that's not your place in my life. Out there. Just to do the washing, do the ironing, and make the food and cook the meals and... You belong in here. Do you know something? I saw my wife as she really was. Do you know who my wife was? You would never guess, would you? You wouldn't know who my wife was. I'm not talking about her hereditary from the earth. I'm not talking about her parents and family and so on. I'm talking about who she really was. She is the bride of Christ. The bride of him. She's the bride of the Christ. And I just treated her like she's my wife. You know, she does the cooking, she does it. We've had a wonderful marriage. I mean, we haven't had any real fights at all in our marriage. We have a beautiful family. We are a loving family. And whenever we have, you know, some celebration like a birthday or something, everybody comes. We have no fights or anything. But see, she was still my wife out there. But now, I'm going to tell you, she is the most precious thing in my life. The most precious thing. Why? Because she is now not, we are one flesh. But verse 17, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 17, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. We are now one spirit. I want to tell you, I love my wife today like you would not be. She knows it too. And she loves me. And we are absolutely, totally, completely equal. In my understanding, in my thinking, in every way, she is the bride of Christ. In Him. She's the bride of Christ. And now, you know what God said? This is in Matthew 19. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Now, for all those years, the only time I ever heard that said was in a marriage ceremony. What God has joined together. You mean to tell me God joined all these people together when 3 out of 5 get divorced? That doesn't sound like God to me. In America, that's true. 3 out of 5 end up in divorce. Marriage in Hollywood is a happy weekend. This is it. I mean, women are playthings in the world, in a lot of cases. And even in Christians, I mean, I will tell you, many Christian men should be absolutely ashamed of how they treat their wife. They should be ashamed. But they're not, because they think she's inferior. She's second class. She's just got to do what I tell her. And listen, I'm telling you, I feel a bigger man now than I ever did. I feel a better man now than I ever did, because I put my wife back in here. Well, there's another question that comes up now. You say, well, now, what are you going to do with the one out there? Well, I'm going to tell you what I do with her. She becomes a manifestation of my wife in here. You see? So I love her just as I love the one in here. In fact, they're one and the same. I mean, this is visible. This woman is visible to me. This one is invisible because she is spirit. But so am I spirit. So we are one spirit. One spirit. I tell you, if you can help get a hold of that, if you can understand that, that's going to change your life completely. So that when you start to think about marriage, you don't just run around and find a pretty face and say that one's dead. You've got to find out the one that's in there. Because that's the only one that's going to work for you. And I will tell you, when this teaching, and I'll be honest, I have never heard another preacher talk about these things. Never. I've never read a book about this. I've never listened to a tape of any preacher in the world. There may be, man, I'm not saying I'm the only one, but at the moment, I don't know anybody. I don't know why God's revealing these things to me. But all I know is that this is a new day in God. And this teaching is going to lift us into another dimension. Amen. It really is. Because we're going to understand that God never created this woman, but that she is actually the man with the will. That's who she is. In the old English language, 100 years ago, in England, the woman was called the man with the womb. The womb man. Woman, that's where the word comes from. The womb man. The man with the womb. Not a woman, as in our understanding of a female, but you are simply a man with the womb. So my wife out here can reproduce now by the Spirit. Let me just tell you this a little bit. But you're going to have to meditate on this, and there's a whole heap more here. Abraham, God said to him, you're going to have seed as the stars of heaven. which meant that he was going to birth the Christ. But he's got a wife that's barren, and she's never had a child. So, of course, he goes back home and says to Sarah, "We're going to have a child." She said, "Oh, well, you know, God doesn't know about women. I'm 86 years old," she was at that time. And she said, "But look, I'll tell you what to do, you know, because we don't want God to look stupid. So what we'll do is I'll give you my servant girl, who was an Egyptian, and Hagar. So you can take her as a wife," which was literally, it was okay in those days. In fact, they still used surrogate mothers. And he had the child with her, and that was Ishmael. So Abraham is all happy, you know. "Oh God, you are wonderful. You have blessed me." So one day he parades Ishmael out there. "Father, this is the son of the heir that you've given me. God, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you." And God said, "He's not your son. I told you that your son would come out of your own bowels." In other words, out of here. "Your son would come out of you, not out of a slave girl." See, the first man came out of God in creation, Genesis 1:26. Every other man came out of a woman. Can you hear me this? We came out of a woman. Which means everybody on this planet, everybody on this earth is the living soul. We all became the woman. We all became the woman. That's the living soul. Not just the women, the men. We all became the living soul because we all lived in the dream world. And you see, today, I hope that you have just awakened out of a sleep where you looked at the woman and said, "Yeah, it's a woman. Where'd she come from?" "I don't know," she said. But now you understand God now created a woman. God only ever created a man. But these women that you see here tonight, they are simply the man with the woman. That's all. It couldn't be anything else. Why? Because God never created a woman. So you see, where does the change take place? It takes place in the womb. Who decides if that child is going to be a boy or a girl? Who decides? See, this is a big deal today. I can tell you, listen, the majority of mothers today, to be, when they become pregnant, after 3 months, they go and get an ultrasound. Why? They want to know, is it a male or a female? None of my kids went and got an ultrasound. None of my girls, I have 3 girls. They never ever went and got an ultrasound. I said, "Don't you go and get an ultrasound. I want to be excited. I want to be there when this wedding, when this birth takes place, and find out what it is. Because that's what God made it. That's what matters." And do you know that that there are people today, it's what we call designer children. There are people today, women, who are getting pregnant, and they get an ultrasound, and if it's not what they want, they have an abortion. Yeah, this is true. You see all the issues that come out of this? It's crazy. The world is crazy. So, this concept of the woman is so very, very important to us because you cannot function as Christ unless you are male and female in here. You can't. So if you're still in the dream world and you're looking, "Oh, the woman's out there," or if you are married, or your wife's out there, then you cannot function as spirit. Spirit can't function just on the male. It can't. Because spirit is male and female functioning together as one. There's a balance. And that's why in the life of Jesus, there was a beautiful balance in his life. He had a kind of a caring about him. He had a love about him for people. I mean, he would touch a leper. Nobody in the world would touch a leper. I remember years ago, I had a ministry in a leprosary in Australia, because we had a number of lepers, a couple hundred. And they were on an island. They were isolated. They were on this island. And I used to go over there once a week. And I'd spend an afternoon there ministering and sharing and counseling and so on. People used to say to me, "You go over to the leprosary, aren't you frightened of catching leprosy? Because it's very contagious." I said, "I'm not afraid of getting leprosy." And, but you know what? Jesus, he just touched the leper. He didn't care. Didn't affect him anymore. So, you see, there was a balance in his life, male and female. All you men, do you have a proper balance in your life between the macho man, you know, the man that I can do anything, you know? That's the macho side of man. That's your male part of the man. But do you have a female part in you, that soft side of life, that cares about people, that thinks about whether you're hurting other people or not? Do you have that balance in your life? Because that's what this is all about. The male and female in you, when they are united, our life finds this beautiful balance, which God is bringing into my life. He already has to a great degree, but I guess he's going to do a better job before it's finished. But just to have that balance of love, affection, of wanting to stop a person being hurt, of caring if a person has a problem, caring about them, all of those things. Because some men don't have it. They don't have that on the female side. See, the female, really, she is there as the one that provides the supper for the child. She's able to feed that child. She has the ability to actually nourish that child and cause it to grow up. You and I can't do that. You see? And that means that she has this caring side to her character and a concern about the welfare of that little child. And that carries over even into adults. She feels for people. And many men don't feel for somebody else that's being hurt. They don't feel. We just walk on path. So the male and female functioning together is the expression of the Christ. You hear this? So it's very, very important. So what I'm saying to you is this, that if you've still got the woman out here and she's okay, you know, she's all right. Well, it's a woman, yeah. Well, God never created a woman, but I don't know, but that's all right. She can live out there. Then, of course, it means that you are not functioning as Christ, because Christ is not male. Christ is male and female, functioning in total union, total union, where those two, not one bowing to the other, but those two are one spirit, cannot be divided. It's not possible. When this truth begins to filter through the church, there will be no more divorce. In fact, I believe even the marriages are going to take on a very different appearance. Because I love my wife today as I love myself. Why? Because she's actually a part of me. In loving her, I am loving myself. You see? So, I never intended to share this today, but anyway, you're beginning to see that there is something very, very wonderful in this whole concept now of the woman. Well, it's... it's very important then for us, first of all, to understand that that woman was never taken out of this. And that my wife, my true wife, is still in there. And that's what I had to understand. When I say I put this, my wife here, back in here, just using an allegory, really, because I couldn't literally take her and put her back. But in my understanding, in my spirit, I did, I put her back. This is my wife in here. And this is a physical manifestation of my wife in here. She is beautiful. She is wonderful. She's 81. So, you know, she's got a couple of wrinkles here and there. But she's beautiful. Because she's part of me. You see? And I love her as I love myself. Oh, boy, this is going to change many, many marriages when people begin to understand. But see, the spiritual implication of this is that until you put the woman back where she belongs in here, you cannot function as the Christ. Secondly, you will never be able to reproduce the Christ. That's Genesis 1:28. That was not just given to the man that was created in Genesis 1:26. That is given to all mankind, all of us. Every person is to reproduce the Christ. But you can only do that when you are male and female in the spirit. But you must reproduce the Christ. Why? First of all, because that is your identity. And I can tell you 1,000 times, Christ is your identity. It's not going to change anything in you. But when you birth that Christ, and this is not a physical birthing. We're not talking about a physical birthing. We're talking about a spiritual birthing, because even you can do this. See, you women, you can do this. Because it's a spiritual reproduction. And you are male and female functioning together as one, just the same as me. So there's no difference. You hear this? So you can do it as well. You must reproduce the Christ. How do you do that? Because that male in you is the seed of God. And that seed can only produce Christ. But now you've got the female. You need the female and the male, because the female has got the womb, and here you are. And so, but this is not a physical birthing. It was for Abraham. It was for Abraham. What happened with Abraham? Well, you see, God told him that he was going to have this child. A visitor came one day, actually three of them. One of them's talking to him and said, "Abraham, where's your wife?" Now that's a question a bit like, you know, when God said to Adam, "Where are you?" Did he know where Adam was? Of course. He didn't need to ask him where he was. God knew. Why did he ask the question? For Adam. That's why he asked the question. So that Adam would begin to think, why am I here? I should be out there with the Lord. But I'm not. I'm hiding behind a tree. Why am I hiding behind a tree? Because I'm naked. I'm naked. Oh God, what's happened? There's a part of him that was exposed. Do you know which part that was? That was the female. The woman had been exposed. She's out there instead of in here, being hidden in me. So, God said to him, this visitor, this angel said to Abram, where's your wife? And he said, she's in the tent. He didn't actually say anything. But what he was thinking was, well, if your wife's in the tent, you've got no chance of birthing the Christ. She's got to be in here before you're going to birth the Christ. Now, is this valid? I mean, is this for real? Galatians chapter 4 and verse 19, the Apostle Paul says to the church in Galatia, do I have to travail in pain? What's that? That's childbirth. Do I have to travail in pain again until Christ is formed in you? See that? So the Apostle Paul, he knew about this. He knew about it. We're just trying to catch up now. But see, he says, do I have to travail in birth pangs? This is a woman giving birth until Christ is formed in you. I want to tell you, this is a new dimension of ministry. It's a new dimension. It means that from now on, I have a desire to birth the Christ in other people. But first, I had to birth the Christ in me. And I want to tell you, the ministry this year has jumped up onto another level. It has. I know it myself, and almost everybody has told me, Des, something's happened to your ministry. You've never preached as good as this. So, this is what it's all about. It's birthing the Christ now in other people. Can I do that? Yes, because I'm male and female in here. It's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual thing. And so, this will change your life, it'll change your concepts about many things. And you will also begin to understand that the seed of God is in you. And that seed will only produce Christ. That's all it will produce. Just Christ. And if you produce the Christ, well, see, Abraham, for instance. My wife's in the tent. And the angel could have said to him, well, if she's in the tent, she's not going to be able to help you to do what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to birth the Christ. See? And so, actually, Abram began to understand. He began to understand the truth. And when the angel said, I'm going to come back, you know, about a certain time, and your wife is going to birth a son. Your wife is going to birth a son. What was he talking about? The wife in the tent? No, the wife in here. But this time, the manifestation of that wife was Sarah out here. But she's 90 years old. She's 90 years old. And so when the angel said, you're going to have a child, even Abraham started to laugh. Said, this is crazy. I'm 100 years old. Sarah's 90 years old. Never had a child in her life. And now we're gonna have a child. And he laughed. And Sarah laughed. And I want to tell you, I've laughed a few times since with Sarah at the things that God can do, which I never thought could be done. He's done it. A 90-year-old woman produces a son. She gives birth to Isaac. Isaac is Christ. How do I know? Genesis 1 verse 1 says, these are the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham birthed the Christ. There it was there all the time, but I never, like I'm sharing with you now, I never understood. And this is what God is requiring from us all. We are to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth with the God kind of people. And you see, in Acts chapter 17, verse 26, it says, God hath made of one all the nations on the earth to dwell. That's what he said. Then he said that in God we live, and in God we move, and in God we have our being. That's in God. In God. So we live in God. I mean, right now where you are sitting, you are living in God. That should change our life, apart from anything else. You are living in God. You're not living with God out there somewhere. Or, you know, I talk to God. Or no, you live in God because your life is in you. So the whole concept of the woman is going to open up for you a completely new concept, idea. And you are going to be blessed by understanding what it is to function out of a spirit which is male and female.